Hi there. It's Conscious Living. Hope you're having a good day. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, having fantastic results with all of the things that you are doing in your life. Wanted to check in with somebody I think is really, really fascinating and who you kind of get an introduction to if you have seen the movie Letters from the Big Man. Okay. This is a movie that talks about Sasquatch, kind of gets you that up close and personal, what it would be like to have that encounter. And this is in Southern Oregon, so it's absolutely beautiful. It's an indie film, and I don't even remember how I stumbled onto it, but it was premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in 2011. And then people who have seen this, the comments are just fantastic. Roger Ebert, Chicago Sun-Times, unlike any Bigfoot movie you have ever seen. And the word of mouth on this is just really unique. All right, you want to find out more about this, then you can check out the Speaking of Sasquatch, all right, because that's a YouTube channel, and that's where you'll hear commentary and talk about Sasquatch. And you'll also be hearing from Kathleen Jones Odom. She was a consultant for this film, and her official title, hopefully I've got it spelled right in all the places I put it, because I was like, oh, whoops, trans medium shamanic practitioner. Okay, that means she's able to pick up on other information, telepathic, whatever you want to call it, from other entities, other beings, and it comes through, and that's part of her reality. So, Kathleen, thank you. I loved the film. I think it is absolutely dynamite, and I'm so glad that they consulted you, because this is a much more, I think, from the people I've talked to who've had these experiences, realistic look at what these entities are. So thank you for your work.
You're welcome, Wendy.
Yeah, I know. It was a piece of cake, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what I wanted to get into real quickly, you as a kid, this is something that you experienced. It was just part of your awareness. How did that work? How did you know?
Well, how I knew is I grew up in the Sacramento Valley in California, and my family had a summer cabin up in the Cascade Mountains near Mount Lassen, and we spent several weeks or numerous weeks every summer there. And I can remember, I don't know, it probably started when I was 6 or 7. I'm not sure the exact age, but I was a young girl, and I mean, I can still palpably remember it. I mean, I would go up on the hill, which was sort of by the spring up by our cabin, and play up there, and that's where the Sasquatch were. The little ones were out there. And, I mean, I got to interact with them. And the thing is, I was never afraid of them. There was never any fear. And then at nighttime, sometimes I was allowed to sleep out on the porch of our cabin. Well, I could have been inside and heard it too, but the yells of the Sasquatch, I mean, just reverberating on the mountain. It was, and again, I never felt afraid of it. So I was really aware of them, but, you know, I was young, maybe between 6 and 10. I don't know when I stopped having those experiences. I heard them always, and I still hear them when I go there. But that was really the beginning of my experience. But then I went off and did my, you know, teenage thing, went off to UC Berkeley to school, to college, and, you know, followed a fairly mainstream kind of, you know, family and career. The whole interaction resumed, you know, fast forward, what, 3 or 4 decades, well, probably more than that, 4 decades, when I moved to Southern Oregon from Hawaii in 1999, and I had purchased a remote property there, and just almost immediately began experiencing them both physically, but just in spirit, and coincidentally, well, it's not a coincidence, but it coincided with my expanded spirit medicine practice that happened just prior to that, when I was in Hawaii, and then expanded it when I lived in Southern Oregon, and I just, you know, began communicating with them and started doing it professionally in 2005, and have done it since then. I mean, the rest is sort of history, but they've become a really important part of my life. And my honoring of them and respect for them grows, I could say, almost daily. I'm in awe. I'm still in awe.
Well, okay, now, were there Sasquatch in Hawaii?
Yes, there are. People ask me that a lot. Yes, there are. I've been able to pinpoint exactly where they are over there. It's probably not something we want to get into on this program, but...
No, that's
yes,
fine.
Yes, they are, but I will say, Wendy, I did not interact with them as closely and as intimately as I did, as I presumed, in southwestern Oregon when I moved there in 1999. So, yes, they are in Hawaii, to answer your question.
Well, and part of it is I've read stories and heard they're all over the world. They're just named something different, and people, you know, when we, that's what separates us, is the language and the titles and all that. Sometimes it gets complicated. But the other thing, now, Christopher Munch is the filmmaker, and he's the one who put this film together, and consulting you, you were, the scenery in there is just extraordinary. And as a, you know, as somebody who watches it, you're transported into this very pristine and sacred and just incredible environment where you feel like you're part of it. He did such a good job of in my opinion, just, you know, as somebody who had just seen all these films, making them big, goofy, hairy, gorilla-esque type beings that, you know, you would assume don't have the way they portray them, any mentality. And that's the opposite. That's the opposite of what these beings are.
Right, right. Yeah, Chris has had extraordinary personal experience with them also. And he, to this day, through the beginning of the film, I mean, we've gotten to be really close friends. And as you know, we started doing the Speaking of Sasquatch podcast, I think it was like 4 years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago, on the Fir and Cedar web channel, or, you know, YouTube channel. But he has had some phenomenal experiences of his own. The filming, I think it won a videography award. I don't know if it was at Sundance, but, I mean, it really is. He's a stellar filmmaker. He's just one of those sort of best-kept secrets, and he's maintained his independence all these years. He's done it all of his adult life. Anyway, I don't mean to digress here. Go ahead.
Good content, okay? You don't have to censor yourself. Okay, well, now this is the thing, too. Because of your experience, do you want to at least mention that you had a near-death experience at some point? I think that...
Well, yes,
that
I can. My spirit walk, or my acknowledged spirit path began in 1973. I had a traumatic event in my life. And, you know, I started with meditation, and I still had a mainstream life. I mean, I was in real estate. I was a restaurant owner. I mean, blah, blah, blah. But I, you know, expanded my meditation and realized not too long after that maybe I did have some innate gifts, and I don't like to say that as patting myself on the back. I'm very honored and humbled by what seems to be given to me. But I did expand that, but I was still in mainstream life. Most people around me didn't even know about that. And so, again, in 1996, I was in Hawaii. I had a near-death experience, and it sort of coincided with my retirement from professional real estate and the expansion of my spirit medicine practice. And I mean, it was a life-changing experience for me. I was shown how to literally and easily travel, and some, you know, travel between the dimensions, beyond the veil, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then, you know, what, 3 years later is when I moved to Oregon and experienced the Sasquatch intimately again. And so it all sort of all worked together, really. But the near-death experience really was a transformational experience in my own personal life. And I know it's been like that for a lot of people that have had them.
When you say you learned to travel, what happened? Did you just automatically know you were traveling, or is there something that you do that assists that? Because that's a unique ability as well.
Well, it is, and it's interesting. About that same time, 1997, and several months, probably 6 months after this near-death experience, I began to actually study shamanic work. My partner at the time was a Hispanic curandero, and so I learned a lot from him. He was, you know, he was not trained by anybody. It was in his family. And mm-hmm. So I learned from him, but I really, you know, I studied with the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. I've done advanced work with them and Sandra Ingerman in Santa Fe with soul retrieval. And it was like a duck taking the water. I mean, that was it. That, comb- combined with my near-death experience, I was on a whole, I was a whole new life, a whole new person. And so.
Well, and I think that is a big part of it as well, because you had an expanded awareness where you weren't fighting it. You weren't going, oh, this can't be happening. You were going, okay, what next?
Right. Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I was hungry for more information and more experience. And I was blessed to be in the situation, both personally and then evolving professionally, that I could, well, I don't know if maximize, but really grow and strengthen and expand my spirit experience. And I mean, I'm still doing that.
Now, the other thing I want to mention, if you're listening, lettersfromthebigman.com, that is the website. You can watch the film. You can find out more about the press, the response, the in some way, shape, or form reaction to this film. And I think so much of it is positive. There's also the webpage, speaking of Sasquatch. So if you want to connect to some of this, the talks that Kathleen and Christopher are doing, it's on YouTube. And there are a couple of links there. There's also one that in this particular, on this page, talks about the interspecies communicator, Jan Weiss. Is it Jan Weiss?
Right, Jan Weiss. Yes, she was on. Chris added a, oh, I don't know, it's not, I guess, a trailer to the video. If you actually purchase the video, I don't know if it's on the one that you can watch on the internet, but if you purchase the video, Letters from the Big Man, the film, he added a, something, a trailer like at the end where he interviewed, I believe it was maybe seven people that had, you know, other than mainstream experience with the Sasquatch. And Jan Weiss was one of them. And she, like me, is an interspecies communicator. And she's originally, I think, from South Africa. I'm not sure if I'm speaking correctly here. But she had, her was real interesting. Her talking on there was just, it's worth listening to it to hear Jan. I mean, you don't want to listen to me. I'm sitting in my living room, and it was a spontaneous interview by Chris, and I'm, you know, it's not one I would particularly put out there, but Jan's is really good. Unfortunately, I'm going to say 3 years ago, I think in December, she crossed over. So she's no longer with us. I know, it's really sad.
Well, but the thing is, her information is, and she talks about Sasquatch consciousness.
Right.
So that's what that, I thought, okay, that's worth a mention there, because it just gives you another perspective and a little bit more in-depth awareness about what's going on here. This isn't a superficial being. This is something, you know, a tangible consciousness, a presence that does have feelings and thoughts and information. When I interviewed somebody earlier in the year, I think it's been in this past year, that the interesting thing is, a lot of times when I have contact with people, I'll do interviews, I'll have maybe a dream or something that gives me a little bit of a template to work with. And I had this dream, and I'm in this beautiful area where it's almost like a lodge type restaurant, going into the restaurant. And in the restaurant, people are seated, and it just seems to me like it's more of a country style. Again, this area is maybe Oregon, the fir trees are around. And this tall, hairy man comes in, and he's just angry, and he's really just his arms flailing around, and so I run out of the building in the dream. I run out and I run over to the clearing, thinking, okay, I just don't want to get in his way. And I could see he's really upset. And then I think, well, I don't know if out here in the, you know, by the woods is the safest place. But what I interpreted from that dream was that there's a whole lot of frustration, that all we're doing is business as usual. We're eating at the restaurant, life, you know, pretending everything is going on status quo. And the messages that we continually get from these other elders in our presence, whether it's in a physical presence or a metaphor or a non-corporeal, who's trying to say, you have to make a shift, a change, start acknowledging your environment is fragile. And that is from, whether it's the ET, whether it's the Sasquatch, whether it's the little people, all across the board, this message continues to come through, or higher consciousness. It comes through that we have to begin making some very intentional and dramatic, in some areas, changes in the way that we are conducting ourselves on the planet. Does that make sense with that dream? Because I didn't think it was about me. I thought, okay, something is happening, and he's not
right,
getting his point
right
across.
Well, what I would mean, I'm not a dream analyst, but I would, he was frustrated, like you said, sort of at humanity in general. Now, I don't want to be reading my own thing into it, but it's interesting. You know, I do facilitate consultations in sacred space when I'm in an altered state with the Sasquatch, and that's part of my professional practice. But I have an interesting comment from them. I don't speak for them; they speak through me. But these are their words of some time ago about exactly what you said, and I'm happy to share it. I'll share it quickly. I don't want to take all the time doing it. But about the earth changes, I had asked them about that. And they said, quote, "The earth is talking to you hairless ones. The hairless ones are not listening. The voice of the earth is getting louder because you are not listening. Yeah. When you choose to be in your hearts, when you choose to see with your hearts, when you choose to speak with your heart, when you choose to act with your hearts, then what you call earth changes will stop. You must come to the forest more often. You must honor the air, the water, the mother earth on whom you walk. Walk with your feet bare to the earth. Do not make gray in the sky. Drink the water coming up from the earth. Look at each one of your hairless human family with your heart. Open the beam of light between your hearts. Do not harm the other hairless ones. Do not harm the animals and plants who understand. We must live here together in peace, in the light, only in the light. The dark is getting darker. The light is getting lighter. Someday soon, the light will disappear, the dark. See the light, be the light, honor all of life. All is life." Unquote.
See, that's a message from someone who is incredibly, I think, intelligent and conscious, present, appreciative of the environment, of the space. And so to me, that would be an elder, somebody with a little bit more foresight than those of us here who continue to create everything in plastic. And it's not that it has to make your life miserable. It's just that there needs to be an effort to determine the consequence of all of this fast forward, headlong pursuit of things that are no longer sustainable, given the population that we are growing and amassing. It's just, we're on overload right now.
Well, look what's happening in the weather. Today, as we speak, there's a hurricane that's literally demolishing the Caribbean, several islands, including Puerto Rico. And, I mean, look what happened with these other two hurricanes, and yesterday there was a huge earthquake in Mexico. I mean, it's, you know, I don't mean to sound weird, but it's like, wake up. You know, we need to make some changes, and we're not being criticized by the Sasquatch. They just are older and wiser, and we need to be listening to them. And the thing is, they are really appearing more and more to our people. I mean, they're making themselves, you know, more widely known and experienced, because we need more help every day.
The other, Italy, I think they're worried. That's also a super volcano. Between that, and then we've also got the one here with Yellowstone. But Italy, they're saying they do predict that one is showing signs of erupting. They're seeing the magma movement and saying this one looks like it has the potential to actually have an output. And then they've had massive amounts of swarms, the most I think in quite some time, in Yellowstone, saying, well, there's no, they haven't, as far as I've heard, witnessed any magma shift. But those kinds of things, the planet is getting more active. And that's been forecast for years from the indigenous culture, saying we're going to have these earth shifts, and the, you know, this is coming. And it didn't seem to be something that we were making. It was coming one way or the other. And so that part of it is that if we don't adjust and keep some of our water clean and our areas pristine, we're not going to have anywhere to go when the ground flips itself.
Right. And it's interesting when you mentioned the... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, I just said that's just practical.
When you mentioned the indigenous peoples, I mean, by and large, the majority of indigenous peoples on the earth, at least in North America, I'll speak for that, have really honored historically through the ages the Sasquatch people. Now, do they all call them Sasquatch? No, that's not their God-given name. Bigfoot certainly isn't. That's an insult to them. But the tribes have honored them for their wisdom and many for their healing capabilities. And just, you know, as older spirit brothers and sisters. And, you know, I would encourage people to do the same thing. You know, our hairless people are, we're not making it real good right now. And I don't want to be a pessimist. I'm positive, but I feel, you know, in spirit, there's a big wave of light coming over the planet. It's like they said in that quote I just read you a little bit ago. I mean, the light is coming. There's big dark, but there's big light. And they're calling us to get on that beam, I call it beam of light. And it's not that difficult to do. I mean, I counsel people on, you know, how to do that. But anyway, that happened.
While you're saying that, people who do want to connect with you, because that's what you do, you also do consultations, and you just put up a new, like, a personal website. You're also with, is it the Georgia, what?
Oh, Georgia Bigfoot Society. A long time ago, yeah, I had a thing on there. I don't have a website per se. I do have, that I just very recently did, Kathleen Odom.blogspot.com. There's just a, you know, basic information there. I'm on my email, sasquatchspeaks@gmail.com, and I have brochures and, you know, information I can send to people. They can find out way more about my work. I mean, I do a lot of different sessions. But
well, and that's what I just want, because I knew you had just started the Blogspot site, and I'll put a link on that to Wendy's Coffee House, just because we're going to talk with you there as well. This stuff, to me, I'm seeing so much more activity, so much more interest, so much more awareness of these types of, in some way, shape, or form, engagements, contact, interactions, encounters, and they're positive by and large.
Right.
They're positive.
Right.
And, you know, that's what people are not used to hearing.
Yeah, I think our consciousness, well, I don't think, I know the consciousness of our species on the planet is expanding and enlightening. But, you know, when you look at some of the earth changes and some of the, you know, suffering that's happening on the earth, you wonder, where is the light? But it is here, and what we're responsible for is getting in the light individually. We can only do that on our singular basis, and then shine that light out. And it's amazing what happens. I mean, just think about when you wake up and you're really in a great mood. You go out and you're in the shopping mall or the business office, you know, government office or something. You go in there, and if you smile, it's amazing. If you really smile from your heart, it can transform that little area that you're in, and it can go even further. It can make a huge difference in one person's day, or maybe more than one person. And that's sort of a watered down example of what happens when you get in the light and you start shining it.
Well, and yeah, it's just, you get what you put out in so many ways. You offer the opportunity for somebody to respond in like kind. And most of the time, unless they're having a really bad day, they're going to be appreciative of, oh, thank goodness, you're one of those.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's not about how many degrees you have. It's not about how many New Age metaphysical workshops you go to. I'm not putting down any of those. I've certainly done and been in enough of my own. But, or, you know, what degrees you have or what books you write or read or anything. It's all, you know, it's all what's going on in you in spirit. It's awakening to the spirit beings that we are. We're in bodies right now, which means we're a little denser than the unseen ones or the ones that can go back and forth like the Sasquatch. But, I mean, we are spirit, and our breath is our body's connection to that spirit. So a lot of the work I do is breath work, but anyway.
Well, and we mentioned earlier that the video that Christopher did, and I just found the Sasquatch and Us. And that's the excerpt from the documentary. He's put that on YouTube. It's free. You can watch it. Some of this stuff is just so helpful to have the information available. And then you're less likely to be affected by some of the negativity out there. Because there are a lot of television and different types of reality shows that say, okay, we're going to go get a bow and arrow or a gun, and we're going to go shoot a Sasquatch or shoot a Bigfoot or a Yeti. And it's like, that's completely the wrong or maybe misguided approach to take if you really want to have an engagement. And even then, you may have the engagement, you won't be able to prove it. A lot of that is about proof. It's about that ego thing of, I have to show somebody my result. Unfortunately, then that's not the outcome that is necessarily helpful for the other entity involved, which would be the Sasquatch. Like, where is that mentality taking us? It's beyond, I think, what we are capable of right now in terms of seeing everything as part of this reality, and we're all progressing, evolving at some amazing, in ways we don't understand, pace that right now is pushing us to expand our boundaries and our consciousness.
Right. The Sasquatch refer to our, you know, interspecies connections as the all one, whether we're looking at a tree or looking at a lizard on the ground, or we're connecting with Sasquatch or another hairless human. It's the all one. We're all made out of the same stuff.
And hold on, take a break. We need to take a quick break here and get in a couple of commercials. We'll be back really soon. Okay, so hang on. Talking about Sasquatch.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to help end poverty.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Conscious Living. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. Remember, I also do the show at Wendy's Coffee House, and that's actually at KCMO Talk Radio, but it's also, you can get it and listen to it on Audio Boom. The downloads, podcasts are there 24/7, and I also link those from Wendy's Coffee House blogspot, wendyscoffeehouse.com, wendygarrett.com, whatever, it'll be there. Okay, just Google. I love Google. I also wanted to mention, we're going to go back, speaking of Sasquatch, which Kathleen mentioned a little bit earlier, this is a monthly webcast. And so you're going to find a lot more engagement, a lot more coherent conversation about what it's like to be connected with this type of thought, this type of belief, this type of awareness. And those They're on YouTube. It's free. One of the ones I happen to just go to automatically was the one that was published 2014, episode 4, talking about an interaction, and Kathleen is reading a transcript of this telepathic communication session. All right. So she was talking about doing sessions. This is an example. And Kathleen, do you remember this one off the top of your head?
No, I don't. I mean, no, I Mike, don't. I mean, if you start reading it, yes, I will. But no, I don't remember what episode 4 was.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's not fair. Mike and Sasquatch and Nefasha. And this was you also got a name, some words with the name of a Sasquatch youngster that were vocally confirmed in the field by this Nefasha.
Right. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Nefasha. Yes, actually, that was a phenomenal confirmation of the validity, and I'd like to add the integrity of my work. I guarantee my work. That's why I do it in sacred space, in an altered space. But yes, that was. I remember that one now. Yes.
Okay, so Nefatia, so you are communicating with this guy and a Sasquatch named Nefatia. I couldn't, you know, the words, I'm glad you pronounced it. I was like, okay. And he has a regular communication or interaction with this Sasquatch.
Yes, the person that we were interviewing, yes. As a matter of fact, yeah, anyway, yes. He had at the time a regular communication with Sasquatch in a location that was a set location. I don't know that that's still any of that still happening, but it was valid at the time, and it was interesting that Nefatia gave me the name of his little sister, and it was then verified by Nefatia to the people that were in his presence speaking with him. It was in Canada, actually. I guess I was in Oregon at the time, but it was a confirmation of the information that I got, and was not out in left field that I picked this name myself or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when you're getting that kind of information, you just kind of go with it, and you can't think about it. It's something that's given to you, and you walk on. Either it's right or it's wrong. It's not up for you to decide. You have the information. It's your job to put it out there.
Right, and I didn't put it out there in order to get a confirmation. That was sort of, you know, didn't even think about that, but it did happen, and it was just interesting that it did. I went, aha! You know, now people certainly won't think I'm just talking out in left field, that this really is communication from the Sasquatch people. And what I do in my consultations, Wendy, is I ask people, well, I do numerous sessions, but probably the most popular one is the client submits questions that they're speaking directly to the Sasquatch, and then I go into sacred space and get their words. Because I'm a clairvoyant intuitive, I also get insights of my own, but I keep those real separate. The words of the Sasquatch, I write down word for word, and frequently I don't even understand what they're saying. I mean, it's in English. Sometimes it's not grammatically correct, that's for sure, but I do put my insights on it. I also do soul retrievals with or without the assistance of Sasquatch. I've been trained with lots of experience to do soul retrievals, which is literally a life transformational experience. So that's another whole thing. But yeah, so on the Speaking of Sasquatch podcast, there are some, we've interviewed some different people that have had the, you know, personal experience with Sasquatch. And really the goal that Chris and I, as co-anchors, have in this Speaking of Sasquatch series is not so much to talk about the Sasquatch. There's just a lot of talk, you know, I'm sure you've seen on the internet about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever. We wanted to have a different program, and we don't have any sponsors, or we don't get paid to do this. We don't have any ads or anything on it, but we just wanted to get the words of the Sasquatch out there. So if you go back and if you remember when you've watched those podcasts, they pretty much are just the words of the Sasquatch. I go into sacred space ahead of time with some questions that Chris and I get together, and then we share them with people. It's been very well received. We've been blessed to do that. We're working on our next episode. But anyway, go ahead, Wendy.
Well, the question is, what kind of audience tends to gravitate toward this? What, you know, you find people who are interested in different things. Some people are, you know, the Loch Ness Monster. Some people are into ghosts. Some people are into ETs. Who's drawn to Sasquatch? Have you noticed a similarity or commonality?
Well, I can say there's more of, I could make more of a generalization or a specific thing about who, excuse me, seems to contact me, mostly via email. with an interest in sessions. There are still some curiosity seekers. I mean, a lot of people, they just want to know where to find the Sasquatch, and it's curiosity more than wanting to hear what the Sasquatch have to say in spirit. And I don't know what to say. It's a wide range of people. I don't think I have, I could be laughed at, I don't know, by the Sasquatch hunters and probably some of the researchers.
Yeah.
I'm not a researcher, and I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a trance medium and shamanic. So I don't know. It's just a wide range of audience category. Most of the people that contact me, and some people are very advanced. I love work.
Well, my point would be that there are some people who have gone out and gone camping, and then they've had this unexplainable awakening experience. Backwoods Magazine, I was the Backwoodsman, I think is what it's called. My husband handed it to me, said, look, here's a story about Bigfoot. And they're trying to get legit stories. And to me, that would be somebody who might have an interest because they are more likely to be in the vicinity or to have an encounter because of that proximity. And so to me, that would be the type of person who might be more curiosity about whether they would have an encounter just because they're out there where there have been sightings and there have been exchanges. And, you know, there are places when we were doing the big sighting for the eclipse, there was one guy who went through and did the math and said, here, you can see the eclipse and have Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So,
what I found, and, you know, it's not a steadfast rule or something, but what I've found is that the Sasquatch tend to appear to people or not just physically appear, but, you know, there's different ways they show themselves or, you know, give experience to a person, especially out in the woods or something. It's usually not accidental. It's the Sasquatch, you can't fool them. They know us way better than we know them. And this person usually, not always, but usually has somehow in some aspect of their life started to open their hearts, whether it's, you know, I want to say mainstream religion or meditation or I don't know, just, you know, a variety of different things. And it's like the Sasquatch used that little pinhead opening to then expand it, and the people then get really curious about what is this? And that's the people I hear from. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they want to know more. They've got the Sasquatch has, you know, tweaked that curiosity and on a level that, on a spirit level that probably hasn't been tweaked before. So that's Kathleen's take on it.
Your interaction has changed as more people are coming to you. Is it getting clearer? Is it more present in your space now?
Yeah, it's always present. I mean, I learn with every consultation. And, you know, I suppose I learn, I know or I've experienced a lot about Sasquatch, but I'm really careful not to just talk about them. There's a lot of people doing that out there for better or for worse, and they could be on a whole other, you know, channel of whatever. I don't get into that. I just know what I do, and I feel like every consultation, you know, benefits me. It does. They tweak my heart even bigger. I mean, I'm learning all the time in my consultations. But anyway, does that answer your question?
That helps. Yes. It's just that. This is still a very novel area, and there are still a lot of questions about what Sasquatch is. So I want to go back to the movie site and say Letters from the Big Man. If you're listening, this will give you an idea of what Kathleen and I are talking about. And just some of the comments, the quotes, one of them under the image of the Sasquatch portrayed in the film, we are inside of you, not outside, as your people have felt for so long. That's huge. That's huge. So is this something that you channeled?
Yes, I did channel, I think, all the words. But they are, and they know what our spirit is. Our dogs know what our spirit is. If I'm upset or frustrated someday, my dogs reflect it. They reflect it. And the Sasquatch, I'm not putting them in the category with dogs, but I'm just saying, they are really sensitive. We're probably the least sensitive species on the earth. But we think we're the most sensitive, and that gets back to the whole species superiority, hierarchy of species that us careless humans believe in. We believe we're at the top of the mound here, and we know all, and And it's just not like that. That's what the Sasquatch is trying to tell us. They're not trying to beat us down and make us, you know, be less than. They're trying to make us be more than to reawaken to who we really are, which is spirit. And all the indigenous peoples of hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, knew that. We've gotten away from it. We have devolved as a species. We may have the latest, you know, electronic gadgets and whatever, but, you know, we have devolved because we've suppressed our spirits. I say we're a dispirited society, and the Sasquatch can tune in. They know what our spirit is. You just can't fool them.
Well, there's another piece of the puzzle here. It says, we will keep your people grounded while they reach for expansion. And how does that fit in?
Because the Sasquatch are really connected to the Earth Mother, Mother Earth, the planet, whatever you want to call it. They're very connected to it. They're sort of, I don't know if I should say the guardians of the Earth, but they're very connected to it. And in learning more from them, we learn more how to be grounded to the Earth. I don't know really how to explain that.
Okay, sometimes somebody will say, I will hold space for you. And in holding space, it means as you expand, as you explore, as you maybe get confused or get lost or get upside down or backwards or, you know, get discombobulated, I am holding a space so you can come back and be grounded and be central and be focused and be reset basically on an even keel. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. The person could also be expanding. I mean, they don't.
Right.
Yeah, it does
right.
make sense, Wendy. Yeah.
Okay.
When you're holding space for someone,
And they're saying it's a time of enlightening and expansion on all levels, you know, humans included, but I also include animals and all beings in this, that we are all going through this along with the planet together. What we don't know about this is that it is so incredibly from the other plane visible. And we're here just, you know, hitting our head against a brick wall, you know, bumping around going, well, I can't see this. And then all of a sudden, whoa, it kicks in. But there are others who are watching going, thank God.
Right.
You know, oh, they're slow. You know, we have hope for them. We're optimistic. They'll work it out, but this is painful. Okay, so have they given you a clue? Are we redeemable? Are we in that way? Are they enjoying this entertainment that we're putting out for them?
Well, if you were a client, Wendy, I'd say, why don't you put that and format that in one of your questions that we'll submit to them in sacred space. somebody laughing.
I assume somebody has a sense of humor about this whole thing.
Right. It's okay. It won't be the first time. That a response to my speaking has elicited some laughter. That's okay. I think the Sasquatch have a great sense of humor. When you start interacting with them, you can see it. They're sort of tricksters. They're like teasing, like we're like their little brothers and sisters. You know how, I don't know if you have an older sibling, but they sort of tease you and stuff. The Sasquatch are like that a lot in the context of numerous situations. But
no, my spirit guides are like that. And it's like, oh,
okay, yeah,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. You know, all you had to do was turn around, you could see it, and you know, the backside.
Yeah, we take life way too seriously.
And I think that part of it, by being so serious, you miss the opportunities to see the nuances and to see the shifts and to see the things as they come into view from all of this flotsam and jetsam that, you know, nothing that we, I think we take for granted. That things are going to be difficult and that there's going to be this horrendous, horrific challenge. And so why go there instead of going, it'll happen. It will come together. And these things are meant to, in some way, shape, or form, expand us and help us become better at imagining, better at creating, and better at appreciating all of the stuff that we are experiencing right now, good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah, the joy in the moment. I think one of the things the Sasquatch have mastered is joy in the moment. I mean, they're very happy. They're very family oriented. They know how to have joy in the moment. And I think some of us in our species at this time on the planet have lost the ability to really call forth joy in the moment and to be in that. You know, the moment's all we really have. It doesn't mean that we're not going to work on creating, you know, a new and better future, whether it's tomorrow or a decade from tomorrow. But we really, in order to do that, we need to really experience the joy in the moment. And I think the Sasquatch, that's part of what they share with us.
Now, in terms of the physicality element, there are people who say if there's an area where the Sasquatch are, then there's going to be a skunk smell. There's going to be an odor. There's going to be more of an earthy, mossy, intense kind of feeling to the space. And you may hear them make noises, like, you know, the rapping on the wood, the top, you know, like that, the knocking, the,
right.
The okay, is that, are those bits of pieces, are they true?
Are those, is what true, those experiences like that?
Are those indicative of the Sasquatch presence?
Well, they can be, but what happens if you get too much into that, figuring out with your head, you're probably not going to see them or
okay.
touch them. Because
yeah.
you're back in your head. It's a real quandary. People, yeah, you do. I mean, yes, they can and do have definitely a certain odor, and they do make certain sounds and stuff. They have ways of showing us, whether it's through dreams or visions or gifting. They do gifting. I know people, clients that I've worked with that do a lot of glyphs with the Sasquatch. That's an area that I haven't really explored very much, but they have different ways of communicating to us. Yes, I think there is a certain odor, but not always, and I don't think about it very much. I mean, I'm too focused on just being in their presence to be thinking about how they smell. I don't like going to church and focusing on a woman's perfume instead of what's going on in church.
Yeah, well, the thing, ultra-dimensional, trans-dimensional, other-dimensional, are they interdimensional? Is that element also part of it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely interdimensional.
So sometimes they could be right beside us and we wouldn't be able to see them because we're just kind of like two ships passing in the night.
Well, what it is, they vibrate on a much finer beam of light than we do. Our bodies are heavier. We vibrate at a heavier density, I guess would be the word for it. And one thing, when you start working with Sasquatch, I mean, you start to lighten up. And, I mean, they've told me, I mean, they will be teaching us, we can't handle this at this moment, but they're going to be teaching us, you know, how to vibrate at that finer level to do astral traveling, materialization and dematerialization, telepathic communication, distance healing. I mean, some of us do that already, but they're going to be teaching way more people how to do that. But we first have to get in our hearts. We have to start that vibration ourselves. They're not going to do it for us.
Is there a dietary shift? Does that mean you're going to be vegan?
Oh, I can't really go there, Wendy. I mean, I don't know. I can't make a statement about dietary shifts. There could be.
See, that's what some people get into. Oh, I have to eat the right foods. I have to walk the right talk. And it's like, you know what? I've had a lot of these experiences, and I wasn't doing any of that. I didn't do the cartwheels. It happened.
That's just a bunch of head stuff. Now, I'm not knocking vegan or any kind of stuff. I'm not getting into that. But
that was where I was going. It was just that was the obvious one. Something very dramatic. But that's the thing, is that all of a sudden then you have to have this perfect lifestyle, and then the one true being who is the great thou art will appear to you. And that isn't the way it happens. It's like we are just who we are, and these extraordinary events transpire, and then you're like, oh, wow.
Right. It happens usually when you least expect it. If you plan to go out and meet a Sasquatch in the body, in the woods, you're probably not going to do it. I mean, I have to have the right, you just can't be thinking that. You have to just be in your heart and, you know, recognize the oneness of everything that surrounds you. And I mean, really recognize it and feel it in your heart. You know, if you watch the Speaking of Sasquatch podcast, it sounds almost redundant because in everyone, they're talking about being in your heart, being on the beam of light. But that, frankly, is what it's all about. And once you get there, I mean, anything is possible. Yeah, so I don't follow. I don't think following any sort of rules, whether it's dietary or spirit practice or anything. I mean, I'm happy to share with people what my path has been. But you know, I don't. You know, it's really not about what Kathleen's.
I'll equate with there's the dietary warning that do not consume alcohol, do not eat bacon, do not eat eggs, don't eat cheese, all. And then you realize when somebody says, I've lived for 114 years and every night I had a swig of bourbon. And what?
Right.
That's how that works, is that each person is a unique combination of atoms, quarks, sparks, enigma. You know, it's all thrown in there. And each person is going to experience in their own way this unspeakable expansion of awareness.
Right.
And so the expectations kind of put a damper on it.
That's right. I couldn't agree more, Wendy.
Okay. So, well,
you know, my instruction to people is to expect nothing and don't be surprised at anything. I mean, I tell people that after a consultation, because I don't ever promise this, but it frequently, more than frequently, happens that after a consultation, somehow I've been able to expand the channel for the client to the Sasquatch, and then things begin to happen directly. And I don't promise that, so I don't want anybody to think that, but somehow that does seem to happen as they start, you know, interacting more directly with the client. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I will go back with, because we're down to about the last 3 minutes or so, I'm going to go back. And given all that's happening on our planet, given all the upheaval, all the weather, all the politics, all the social stuff, there's still the insight coming from others around us that, and this kind of encapsulates it, it's a time of enlightening and great expansion for all humans. So no matter what chaos and disarray and upheaval and negativity we might be witnessing on this superficial plane, great things are happening. Does that make sense?
Oh, I couldn't agree more with what you just said.
We throw the judgment and the trauma and the drama and think, oh my gosh, this is awful. And at the same time, when I've been through those pieces of my life and hurt and gone through it, and then afterwards gone, oh, I wouldn't have met who I met. I wouldn't have had to pursue something I had to pursue and then enjoy and benefit from it if I hadn't gone through the growing pains, the kicks, the knees scraped, and sometimes, you know, the humiliation of, oh, wow, yeah, I was learning. Boy, that looked bad.
The knocking down of our pride and ego. They said, quote, it's been difficult for all of us. No species has been spared. The greed and fear must transmute or there will be complete destruction. This is a pivotal time. When the human consciousness enlightens, then the reversal of destruction will begin. That's a really powerful statement. They said, we have specific important ideas that you humans need to learn and live. Just ask us and we will help you in ways you could never have imagined, unquote.
Okay, so apparently this big dark is going to have a crack and that's where the light's coming in, all right? Because they're talking about the big dark. Well, the big dark must be in some way, shape, or form presenting itself so we can see the light. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay, it's going to be really obvious. In other words, it's like, you can't miss this. Hey, Kathleen,
right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your information. And we'll talk again. But right now, for anybody who wants to get caught up with this, the movie, you got to see it. Letters from the Big Man. It's beautiful. It's extraordinary. And then go and you can listen to, speaking of Sasquatch, the shows are on YouTube, and connect with Kathleen. Again, your website, the blog, you've got that started out. And I'm going to link this on Wendy's Coffee House as well. Okay. How's that?
That sounds good. Speaking of Sasquatch, sasquatchspeaks@gmail.com is my email. But it's been a pleasure, Wendy. Thank you. It's just been fun. We could go on and on. There's so much.
I know. That's where we're going to talk again. That's
We will. Well, listen, thank you. Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
And if you're listening, again, if you're listening, Wendy's Coffee House, I'll put the links on there, and Conscious Living and Power Radio. Listen to the downloads. Tons of shows there in the archives. Thank you. And have a wonderful, wonderful imagination that you can upgrade all of this reality that we're going through.